We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Very small agenda tonight. All right. First thing on the agenda is the January 3rd minutes. Steve is away. He was going to attempt to phone it, Steve Herbert. I don't know if he'd be able to. He said he was going to try and do it by that. So I believe he's away on business.
So. All right. Then I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017.
I'll second it. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. A little bit of correspondence. NECTD job fair, Monday, February 13th, 2017, 1 to 4 p.m. That is going to be held at the Killingley Public Library. It's actually they're looking for a part-time fleet mechanic. So the specs are there. If anybody's looking for a mechanic, has that classification. So there's the job fair. I did send out an email to Shaner and Steve, the 2016 annual report of CCM, which is the, God, I keep forgetting what that is. Council of Municipalities, which we're a member of, which is also where our insurance comes from. I sent the copy of the email because there's a lengthy PDF on the actual report that can be downloaded from the website, which states everything that CCM has done to date. So if you went to CCM dot, I think it's .org, you would be able to pick that up there. So just click on the link that I gave you. It's usually boring reading. Holiday bonfire is Saturday, January 21st, so it's this Saturday coming up, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Please come down, bring your skates. I don't know if the ice will be safe. They'll have their normal festivities. Free admission, and that is sponsored by the Parks and Recreation Department. Okay, letter from FEMA. The subject is field survey in support of flood plan mapping updates in the Quinebaug watershed. This is information. We had attended a NECOG meeting. They were looking for a variety of the waterways and so forth. And we fed them some information, which I'm surprised because this was done December in 15, and they are getting to it a year later. So for federal government, that's moving pretty quick. Siting Council, Selco Partnership, DBA, Verizon Wireless, Notice of Intent to Modify an Existing Telecommunication Facility, 347 Riverside Drive. So it's a normal thing that they come out and say that they're going to be working on a cell tower because it's within our town. So it'll be, that's pursuant to regulations. It's a common practice. I attended the CCM, which is the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, on the 10th. What I did put into, and I will talk about this a little bit further in my selectmen's comments. This has to do with the state of the budget and all of the different legislations and stuff they want to try and get through. that affect all of the towns. So I did forward you a copy of that, and it is available if anybody would like it, what CCN is trying to do based on the budget, as well as, and I'll mention it right now instead of in my comments. A lot of it has to do with municipal law, and one of the things is our, which I had stated before, we had won an arbitration in 2012 to go to a defined retirement plan. And the union has come back and is challenging that decision, and the state has jumped on board. We knew that there was a possibility of that, and we were looking for CCM to assist us. They are going to be pushing for legislation to create another tier within the state employee retirement system, you know, for MERS like the state did. And with that, hopefully there'll be a grandfather clause in that, so whoever may have broken away would be grandfathered in. You know, at 11% to 2% contribution, it's extremely high, and if the state can come up with a tier three, they should be able to allow the towns to, you know, absorb some of those costs as well and get some relief. So they are working that way, and they will be doing a survey through CCM to see whether other towns may be affected, such as we are, if you have to go back and pay. If we were to lose it in court, it would end up in the appellate and possibly the Supreme Court, you know, based on the court stuff, the way that moves along. It'll be probably several years down the road to go to that extreme. But it could have far-reaching effects for other towns that may be in this position several years, you know, ago that did break away, and now that one union is testing it, it's dragging everybody. So CCM will be doing a study to see who else is and use that as well when they finish that proposed legislation. Just FYI, the business of tourism, the governor did cut the funding for the for some of the offices, and it's being run now out of the center of the state, out of Hartford, for all of the tourism districts, and they were looking for some support to try and get the funding back. But with the $1.3 billion, it may be hard-pressed. Correspondence on for the Connecticut Association of Community Action. We don't currently deal with them, but they did send to us their annual report. So that'll be available for reading. They're out of New Britain, Connecticut. The last Green Valley, they're starting to begin their plans for Walktober 2017. They do this every year, and just an update. They'll be looking for support in the spring outdoors and the October 2017. And this will be their 27th anniversary of it. So there'll be more information to come. Yeah, they sent their literature and calendar of events the coming year. I also received from the Wyndham Superior Court, the Judge Chambers in Putnam, inviting us down on February 6th to 120 School Street, Danielson, to get acquainted with the local judges and experience our court proceedings firsthand. The program will commence at 8:30 a.m. with an informal breakfast reception and will end at 10 a.m. It's a way of getting acquainted with some of the process and answer some of the questions. I'm going to be indisposed on that day, and I know that's one of our days that we're also tentatively possibly having some budget as well. It's one of the open dates, but 8:30 a.m. it will be happening. That's the first time I've ever seen that come through. And that is what I have in correspondence. You don't have anything, do you?
No.
Bear with me for a second. I got to go get my selectmen's comments, so I'll let you speak.
Oh, I don't really have anything to say.
I forgot my notes, sorry.
Looking at our tentative budget schedule.
No comments?
Nope.
Good. You do enjoy listening. Okay, selectmen's update will be going out in February. So that'll be our next edition. So we're putting the finishing touches on that. The restaurant on Riverside Drive was demolished a week and a half ago by the new owners. Which is a wonderful thing. I know that Jason, there's a little bit of sentimental attachment to that. It's a shame that it did get burnt down. Just to update the people that did own it, the fire, they had a deal going with the new owners, which was the Pizza House, Riverside Pizza. It was all set to be demolished. There was some hazmat issues with that. It finally got sorted out. And then it was sold just before Christmas, or right in that vicinity. And we did have a discussion with Hans. With that, and you know, with liabilities and so forth. And he did contract to get that done. And it's great having it down for liabilities and so forth. And now they'll be able to move forward with the new plans of what they do. So. That's a wonderful thing that it did come down. I did quickly touch on the CCM that I had gone to January 10th. There was a lot of discussion on the $1.3 billion state deficit and the legislative changes, which I did hand out. Also, the chair from the Education Commission was there, Gail Slosberg, also talked in that. Their funding is also reduced, and they will be closely reviewing any projects that has to go with school construction and so forth, again, because of the, you know, the money and the deficit in the budget. And I did discuss the MERS aspect. We had talked about doing something for retiring Ada Temple for her decades of being the registrar of voters and being an employee in town and so forth. She, what I was hoping to do was have her come in where we could present it to her.
Mm-hmm.
She is in Georgia. Okay, so we will check to see when she is going to return, and we'll maybe have a gathering and, you know, some of her friends and whoever wants to come, et cetera, and have it signed and presented to her. So I'm going to try and find out when she will be coming back. So we're still working on that. We've been talking about the Economic Development Committee. We had started the branding study with NECOG. We also talked about a possible consultant as well for our such as CERC and one contractor to also do a study. I am going to be meeting with John Filchek. I had a quick discussion with him today at the executive committee meeting that I am part of with NECOG. And I'm going to have them come in and sit down between the planner and myself and discuss how we can do the branding study as well as the consultant where they don't overlap what they're doing and we can get a finished product a lot quicker. So I'm going to have a discussion of what each role will play and how we can complement that. So I'm going to have a meeting with him and I'll report back on that. As far as the 929 River Mill, I did send a letter out to the River Mill owner to check on the status of the mill and the revitalization. The owner does live at the other end of the state. We deal with Sean, and we are reaching out. I did reach out to him. He should be getting it today or tomorrow. We're not at the end of the week to have some discussion about the mill and the revitalization. We are still going to be having the meeting with Thompson together at the library on January 25th at 6:30 p.m. to discuss the revitalization and possible demolition of the 929 mill. And the Brownsfield study is moving forward with CME, GZA, which is the company, engineering company that has been keeping, that's responsible for the sanitary dash aspect. They've been hired because of the contaminants in the ground, and they did meet with CME and the planner and myself, you know, to bring information so we get more done, so we're not duplicating some of the services with the reports that they have. So they gave us additional information to help us out. 630 Riverside Drive, Beldings Mill, the Brownsfield report due to be presented at the February 21st Selectmen's meeting. CME will be putting that on. That'll be the complete report of everything that is found, cost for remediation, and the potential of the revitalization of the site. So that report will be completed. And the school bus RFP was opened Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. I'm not exactly sure what day it is. Dr. Jolin did let me know. They had four or five bidders that did bid on it, contractors, and they were quite large bid packages. So the consultant did have them. He was going to do the spreadsheet to compare the bids from the potential contractors, and I will be getting that information as soon as the consultant has checked the bids out to see, make sure that everything complies with what they're looking for and how they size up.
I'm sorry, is that so to contract out the buses?
Yes, for the possible privatization of the bus transportation. They did go out with RFP, which has been talked about at Board of Finance and various newspaper articles and radio and everything else.
Right, and the buses
are owned by the town.
Correct.
And
so
the
going out for an RFP.
They went out for an RFP. At the time of the RFP, they were told that the school could not put a dollar quote on the fleet. They didn't have the authority.
Okay.
And they could not dictate that both of those would have to be negotiated when we enter into firm discussions if that's where they want to go.
So just to be clear, the school cannot enter into
any contract.
Any contract.
That is correct.
They're just going through the process to look at
numbers. Going through the process to look at numbers to see how it sizes up.
Okay, thank you. Just think that's important to note.
Yep. And I did attend that meeting. I can't remember the date.
Yep.
It was when they did have the mandatory meeting with the contractors, the potential bidders, and that was the first thing that came out at that time. And that's a wrap-up of everything that has pretty much gone on since our last meeting. Anything?
None.
You're easy.
Yeah. I guess I'll be on just kind of weighing in with what Steve had stated during the last meeting with regards to the budget discussions, which I know we have that on the agenda, particularly within the fire department budgets and creating a template. I I'm sure we'll get into it later, but I'll be reaching out to Orla as well just to see if there's...
It's on our agenda here.
Yeah, no, I know. Just that I'll be reaching out to her as well to see if we can get that template, if there's anything in addition to what she's already presented to us, just because I had done just some preliminary research into what some other fire departments have done. That's all.
What was on the agenda, Steve asked to table it because he did a lot of work into this, as we all have.
Citizens.
Oh, sorry. Citizens' comments. Please, feel free.
So, there was a...
Could you just state your name for the record, please?
Oh, I'm Charlie Over.
Thank you.
I came in tonight because of a typographical error on the Inland Wetlands report. It said that we would be talking about the mill site, the building mill site, at the Board of Selectmen's meeting. It said that the date of 2/17, which is a Friday. And that was an error on our part, but I wanted to find out what was going on there. So I'm just going to wait until a month from now. When did you say it is? The 19th of?
21st.
21st.
2/21, which is our second selectmen's meeting of that month.
That is
a Tuesday night.
That's a topic that brought me out in the rain.
You could have called, Charlie.
But I'm here, so yeah. It wasn't your fault. It was our typo.
Yeah.
And I looked at the calendar and said, oh, the meeting is 1/17.
Yeah. So 2/17 is when we're going to do the public. 2/17. Where CME will be here and present all the findings of where we are. Anybody else? Okay. FOIA policy, as we know, we've been working on this for a while. We edited a bunch of the changes that were suggested, and Steve asked to table it so he could review it and make some comments. We didn't want to do it by over the phone, so it's not a problem. The plan is still in, the policy is still in a force, and we'll move forward with that. The road list, Leo will be presenting a road list at our budget meetings. I know we've been keeping that on there. With that, and but we'll be talking about that during the budget, and Leo's been working on those numbers, crashing for where we look to be for the potential for our priority for our roads going forward in the budget season.
Do you know if they're doing anything, present day, just while we're waiting for, is there any money left to finish projects at this time?
Yes, we've got...
I know this is a difficult... obviously season to
right,
do anything. But.
Well, right now we've got in road money, I think it's, if I remember correctly, it was about $275,000. I may be wrong on the number. But that's all money that once the April 1st comes and the frost comes out of the ground, so any paving, oiling, which will take us to the end of this budget cycle.
Okay.
All right, because our budget cycle actually started July 1st.
Yeah.
We did as much work until the asphalt plants closed. Leo's still out there doing such thing as drainage work right now with no frost in the ground. We just did some drainage up on Sunset Hill Road. No, not Sunset, Brookside. Just did some drainage up there. He's doing some fence repairs, some flex beam, and that will also come out of the road budget money.
Okay.
For work. So that's the stuff that he can do throughout the winter. But the biggest part of the paving and shimming of the roads and oiling and that type of stuff comes when the plants reopen April 1st.
Okay.
And then he will schedule and get, all that going again.
Okay. Great.
So
thank
we
you.
Have we have stuff that to continue on with. And we'll have a better idea, during the budget as to what we're looking at, as well as, right now, he's also figuring out Aquatic Road, where we just did the bridge through Elmwood Hill. That is called a connector road, and there's different monies that are available with that. I'm going to see if we can get a grant to get that done. Another road that we're looking at is also considered a connector road, is from 171 to 193 over the West Thompson Dam, West Thompson Road.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yep. Because they're connector roads between state highways.
You're talking Aquatic Road from 193 down?
Talking Aquatic, yes, at the Four Corners.
Okay.
Down. You get to Aquatic, Town Farm Road, Four Corners, where Coach's Corner was. From there, that's Elmwood Hill, and that takes us out to Route 44.
Yeah, I noticed,
very heavily traveled.
I noticed, yeah, a lot of heavy traffic.
Yes.
I noticed today it really seems to be deteriorating very fast.
All your roads right now, roads deteriorate very quickly because of the cracks in the road.
Sure.
Water gets into the cracks, gets underneath, freezes, pops, and it's an ongoing thing unless we overlay them and or chip seal it, which is what they do. They'll seam seal the big cracks, and they'll shim them, and then we'll go through and oil them up after. That keeps the water from getting down underneath. But this is New England, and
yeah,
the roads constantly move.
Yeah.
So it's a never-ending battle. But being that, there is some money available to do with that through NECOG. All construction, such as flex beams, the catch basins, the cross culverts, regrinding of the road, putting a top coat over it, there is money because, again, it's a connector road, and a connector road prime example is Buckley Hill, and we had Buckley Hill done through state money as well, mm-hmm, from Riverside to 200. And, you know, we're looking at that'll, if we can get the state money, we get that done, we can put the money elsewhere into the roads that are not covered by that. So between West Thompson Road and Aquatic Road, I consider those two as connector roads. And we'll also be looking at some money to redo the sidewalks through as well on 200 towards the mill and see what we can get there. But there is some money available, but it is very competitive. So we're looking at that as well. So, all right. That's update on the roads list, and I did a little bit of road update.
Mm-hmm.
With that, the budget, including the template. I gave you a copy of the template. I did put one in Steve's, and I did email it to both of you as well. There we go. So what Orla did in this, and this is not a knock on the fire departments, we're trying to get a little bit of consistency, and we had discussed this, and we're going to pass this out to them. If anybody, I've got a couple extra copies if somebody wants to take a look at this. It's general accounting. You can give one. You want one? You all right? It's basically on the same thing what we do on the town budget. We'll show the two or three calendar years what actual expenses are, where we are, and it'll show the dips and the peaks. And, you know, for 14, 15, 16, and what you're estimating for 17. So it gives you an idea of where you're going and what the averages have been. It'll show the income, donations, fundraising, town support, et cetera, where that has been, and then it'll break down all of the expenses all the way down and give the criteria that we need. So that way they're all giving it to us in the same so we can compare it properly and understand it when they're coming in front of us. The only thing that is missing on here, and I did talk with Orla about it, is the actual assets, you know, cash, assets, CDs, bonds, stock, whatever it may be, bank accounts and so forth. So that way, you know, and it again, some of that is looking at, you know, they may have a building fund or a new truck fund, and they have money in it, but it does show where they are and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. And everybody will be on the same page. So with the exceptions of the actual assets, Orla's going to finish that updating tomorrow, and unless you see something out of the ordinary, we're going to get that to the fire departments and ask them to, use this template. And it'll make it easier when we have our discussions in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would take out is the other section under equipment. Unless that's just a placeholder for the departments to enter in any equipment that maybe we weren't thinking of. Just because what we found a few years back in doing some of the budgets with some of the departments, like Public Works, for example, we were able to combine line items or just have them spell out like what they were instead of other.
Well, this is general accounting practices, pretty much.
And they put the other?
And the other, and if they have a question how that falls, they can reach out to Orla and she can, because they're all going to come in, review it, and if they have a question. Go ahead, Charlie.
Question, yes. Charlie Obert, I'm wondering, instead of others, shouldn't it say vehicles? I don't see any, that's a big asset.
Well, that's an asset that has no value per se.
But they have to be replaced.
Yes, they do, and that's based on fire trucks are done on a 20-year average, which is still under the underwriters for pump testing and so forth. Trucks can go 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
It comes down to when the fire departments have them, that they have a pumps that meet the ISO and NFPA requirements.
Okay.
So, I mean, we have the number of the departments have older pieces of equipment that are not real. They're there for support, but in order to keep the insurance rates and so forth down, they have to have that NFPA, and that's a 20-year cycle. Is it an asset? It'd be an asset if you were going to liquidate a fire department in that grand scheme of things. I mean, other than that, we have the age of the fire department, all the apparatus on the insurances when we do it through VFIS, whether it's a 2010, 99, 87, whatever it is. Normally, when fire apparatus goes, it inherently has no actual values.
Thank you.
If you do see something on here, reach out to Orla tomorrow.
Okay.
If you
sure.
come up with something that you may have seen with that, but pretty much they're standard, and I think they'd be very easy for them to follow.
And then was she looking into creating a separate EMS fund?
I think that's why she put here, they would do one for each. One for the fire department and one for the ambulance service.
Because I would think that the ambulance service would probably include a little bit more in the way of medical equipment and storage.
Yes and no. Because your R1 response vehicles in the other departments do have medical stuff. We may have to get EpiPens or O2 or mask bandages and so forth because they go out in front of the ambulance. And we use those supplies as well. So, okay, with that, currently we have set 5 dates for the budget reviews.
Yep.
Wednesday, January 25th at 9 a.m., Thursday, January 26th at noon. Wednesday, February 8th at 6 p.m., which you said you have a conflict with, and we need to take a look at that, if we can change that to Thursday. What does your schedule show?
Yeah, like maybe flip-flop the Wednesday for the Thursday times.
Can you do a double session? Or can you do the noon on Wednesday and 6 p.m. on the 9th? Flip the times.
Yep, I could do the 12 o'clock on Wednesday and on the 9th. Yep, I could do that.
All right.
I guess just check with Steve to see if we could do that. That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll have Marie email him out. And Friday, February 10th at noon. The other possible add-on date, depending how this goes, is February 6th. Right now, we do ask each of the departments to, as they've done their budgets, because some of them are volunteer departments, some work part-time hours. We're still getting days that they can make it in order to do that.
Okay.
So the 6th could get filled in.
Is there a specific time that you were...
I don't have a specific time. What is your schedule, Cheryl?
Sure. I could probably do...
Because that's a Monday.
1 o'clock that day, 1 on.
All right. I'll see if Steve can also do that, and if we need it, we can fill that in.
Okay.
But ending on February 10th, we still have time to add on any additional dates. And if I remember correctly, the first week of February, Steve was away, and the week after the 10th, which would be the 10th, 11th, 12th, the 13th, Steve was away also that week, if I remember correctly. So these are what we came up with.
Okay.
So far.
And I think we had said like 2 to 3 hours per session, depending on who we can get for each day?
Correct.
Okay.
I think one of them you said 12. I have the other times, but these are the starting times.
Yep.
So we're moving forward with that. Okay, update on the historical roof referendum. As you know, we were going to do the referendum. We still intend to do that. I ran into a legal interpretation on the historical grant for the $50,000 for the roof, where I can't remember the... I think it said forever. But it had a time frame, and I just don't have it in front of me. And it was something that we picked up. There was a couple other questions. They have answered those, which are not a problem. This one here had a limitation on one word of forever, and then after, depending on the amount of money you borrowed, from 0 to 20,000, or I mean for the grant, 0 to 20 was a 10-year restriction, and from... or it was a 5-year restriction, and from 20 to 50, it was a 10-year restriction. Okay, that part we can live with, because just doing the USDA grant would be anywhere from 20 to 40 years, depending on what made more sense when we went for the USDA grant. The other issue was whether or not we would still be wish to enter into the application for the historical grant. If as soon as we get the clarification on the word forever that's in that language of the stipulations for getting the grant, mm-hmm. if we're awarded that, if we can't add up to it, then I do not want to go in front of the general public saying we get 200,000 offset by 50 when in fact that the 50 is not eligible. So I'd rather have that answer. Once I get that, then we know it's either for the full 200,000 or not. So if we're not eligible, I don't want to put false information out there. So as soon as I get that cleared away, then I'll be able to, and I'm hoping to have that back in the next few days.
Okay.
Because they did respond to three other issues that were on there and answered the questions on Thursday into Friday. We're just waiting for this last thing that they had to ask. And as soon as we get that, we'll just schedule the, if everything, then I'll know exactly to put out the right information where we're going with it. So that is the update on that. And number 9, update on MS4 stormwater violations. We were notified just before Christmas on three violations of the industrial stormwater release. WPCA has addressed theirs with a plan of how they're going to, and they've given it to me. They're taking care of their issue going through a engineer. I have to respond, being the property owner that which the WPCA is on the property. So I have that information. I have found the highway garage plan in the archives, and I am still looking through the archives. We've got another lead of where to look for the transfer station. So I'll look, finish looking tomorrow. With that, I will draft our response to the DEP on how we're going to handle the three violations and get this moving forward. And, you know, with the time frame extensions to update the plans as required, it's all part of the package, but we have to respond. So we will be responding out on that, as well as the MS4 itself, which is the actual whole town stormwater release. There's an April 1st deadline for doing the application. I've been talking to two contractors, three engineers, NECOG, and another firm to give us proposals. I've gotten proposals from two. NECOG could not give me any cost and how it would shake out because they haven't done it, even though they're capable, but they haven't done it. And the other one, I should have an answer tomorrow. They can't do the MS4, but they may be able to help us with the highway garage and transfer station with those, that other, because they're not an engineering firm, but they do some of the stormwater and testing and so forth, so they can help between Marla and that to update the three violations and the MS4. As soon as I get feedback from one of the contractors, the engineering firms, then I will, because we have no choice, it's got to get done, it's going to come out of, it'll be transferred in on under permits and so forth in the funding. So we will get that done. That is moving forward. DEP seems like it all comes at once. All right. Other business, I don't have anything. Do you have anything?
Just a question. Where do we stand on our fire marshal's submission of the appropriate documents to the state from the fire department? Still an ongoing issue?
He is working with the fire departments that were delinquent to get the information. He said that if he did not get what he needed, that he would be back in contact with me.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Okay, we're back to citizens' comments. If anybody has anything. Sure.
Okay, just one quick information note that we've just recently received.
Okay.
Sorry, can you please state your name?
Sorry. Yep, Pat Dumas, 196 Old Turnpike Road.
Thank you.
Okay, just recently, while the school budget meeting is going on, and they did put their RFPs out, and they did get their bids back. I guess they range from one hearing from 7-point-something million to 8-point-something million over a five-year thing. Mike just got the budget from Neil Green on transportation, because he asked for that. And we come in at $1,040,000. And
for transportation costs?
For transportation, everything. I mean, let's say, So your bus companies, that would kind of break down to $1.3 million, the lowest bidder, I think. And But then there's your field trips that range from anywhere from, okay, we pay right now, ours is like $15.88 an hour, plus travel and gas, mileage and gas. Theirs is lowest bidder goes from $52 an hour to $75 an hour. They range. And we're picking up the fuel. So how is that justified? You know? So just, you know, really major concerns on that. And in past negotiations, we've had Board of Ed members tell us repeatedly how Thompson is one of the poorest states in Connecticut. And then to want to bring this amount of money and to take, okay, so we come in about approximately, what, $300,000 lower than a bus company right now, according to their figures. How can they take that away from students? You know, just major concerns. Just want to put that in for a while.
Okay, so if I got you right, total cost came from finance over there?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
Just the green.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've heard rumors as far as, but I haven't seen any figures, and I am waiting for...
Yeah, I'm not...
No, I'm just saying, I am waiting for the spreadsheet of all of how everybody stacked up.
Yeah. And then I know on the video, I guess that Chrissy took at the meeting with the bus companies there. I know she put out, I know Mike heard 7 million to 8 million something. And I know Chrissy thought she heard 17 million to 18 million. So I'm not positive on those figures either. So, you know, that's up.
Thanks. Anybody else? Don?
Continental Police. So, can I make a suggestion that when you get your figures, and we have them accurate from both sides, that you bring it to the next board of selectmen and you share it with us? Because if we can save $300,000 a year keeping it in house, why would we outsource? If her figure is correct. So we'll get the facts and we'll talk about it. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, tax refunds. All right, I'll make a motion to refund Jacqueline Sear, $9.84. And Carol and Elmer Preston, $9.23.
Second.
That's it. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay, with that, I don't have anything else. Motion to adjourn.
Yep, second.
In favor?
Aye.
Thank you.